You are tuned to North Fork Works, and this is Hazel Kahn. Today, I'm introducing you to Paul Stoutenberg, one of my fascinating North Fork neighbors. Paul is 24 years old and a filmmaker dedicated to environmental conservation. He's also a teacher, and at the end of the interview, you'll hear Alex, a 13-year-old student, talk about working with Paul and learning from him.
I love the farmlands. I love the open. Just this morning, I saw two red-tailed hawks. My grandpa has really served as a role model for me. I've always seen him as a hero for all the land that he's preserved out here and a lot of the environmental action he's done. I think growing up around him and my grandma and my aunt, who was a science teacher in Cutchogue. And so being around them, always talking about, I think the way they always spoke about wildlife and this magnificent bird they saw or this owl they heard, I think I kind of caught on to that. And they always brought me to the beaches, and catching frogs was a big thing when I was young. I couldn't stop catching frogs. I would always go to my grandma and my grandfather, and they would say, yeah, especially going into college, they were so excited that I was going to ESF to study conservation biology. It's environmental science and forestry. It is, I would say, one of the most specialized schools for environmental science. It's amazing being around a community of peers that are so passionate about environmental issues. Without a doubt, that's what's really jolted my passion and my inspiration is the professors that were there and just the other students that were passionate.
Well, I guess it's also a place then where you can see that it's not just a passion, but maybe it leads to, you know, careers and so on.
Yeah, that was a big thing I got from college, was seeing people that graduated from ESF traveling the world, researching polar bears. And I was always very interested in wildlife science, so I started in wildlife science, and halfway through I really discovered my passion for documenting the work of biologists and researchers and conservationists.
Documenting meaning what?
I would say it started with a desire to capture images of wildlife, but then as I progressed, I learned that what's really interesting is the human story. I think there are so many interesting stories of people that dedicate their life to preserve one species or one ecosystem. Right now, I'm thinking of Helen Hayes, and she spent her whole life to this one species of roseate terns. And I went out there in 2010 and filmed her. And it's just unbelievable to know that there are people out there that are keeping certain species alive. Without them, they could go extinct. Yeah, I always look up to environmental filmmakers and environmental activists like Paul Watson. I'm really impressed with what he's done.
Do you consider yourself a naturalist, an environmentalist, a filmmaker, a teacher, a scientist, an advocate, a political person, conservationist? I had all these things. I don't know. How do you see what you're doing or your path, maybe?
I would say, above all, a conservationist, because I think one of the most powerful methods of conservation is to preserve land. That's what my grandfather's done on the North Fork, and that's something that I'm really passionate about accomplishing in my lifetime, is preserving land.
In a very local sense, this land here or land anywhere?
Definitely feel there's a need for conserving land on the North Fork, but I also think that there's parts of the Amazon and Indonesia that are a high priority for conservation. Right after Thanksgiving, I'm going to Ecuador with two friends, and we're gonna start a documentary about rainforest conservation. All the films I make, I really hope that they inspire environmental action. I think on a lot of these issues, we talk about them for so long, but at some point, when is someone going to step up in town hall and say, this needs to change? Let's rethink how we're preserving land out here or how we're taking care of our ecosystems. That our job as filmmakers is to inspire, but I will also be the person that stands in town hall. I think that you can do both. I think you can document and also be an activist. And I don't think it's as much as standing up against a town. I think it's a lot more about working with local officials. And it's really comes down to education and making sure everyone understands what species need certain habitats.
I think that leads us into your film club. Is that the Environmental Film Club that's on your website?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So this winter I was in Costa Rica and I worked a little bit with local students, outdoors birding. And then we started making films about birds and environmental issues and cleaning up streams. And so on my way back to the North Fork, all I could think was, I have to keep doing this. Kids are what inspire me to continue following on my path. And so I got back and North Fork Audubon was a perfect fit. Diana and Debbie were both very welcoming and very excited about the idea. And so we sent some emails out and got about six or seven, well, in total, seven students. So each month we worked on a different film. The first one was The Piping Plovers. And then we worked on the...
Talk about The Piping Plovers, because people may not necessarily know what you're referring to.
Every season, the piping plovers migrate to the North Fork, and the fences are put up on beaches. And one issue is that it takes up the beaches so that people can't drive their trucks or can't let their dogs loose because they might go and attack the plovers. So it limits beach accessibility to some degree. But it's an endangered species, and it's really important that people are aware. And so one way as a film club that we decided we might be able to relate is by getting shots, close-up shots of the mother protecting the babies. And I think that is what helps people understand the need to have fences that protect the plovers. So the second film was preserving water quality on the East End. And so we interviewed Jennifer Skilbred from Group for the East End. And she summed up the three most important actions to take to preserve water quality: denitrifying wastewater, eliminating fertilizers and pesticides, and planting plants along in buffer areas. It can take up a lot of the excess nutrients. And then the third film we worked on was about plastic bags, about banning plastic bags. I think it's one of the environmental issues with a very simple solution. I just walked down to the beach 15 minutes ago and I picked up two plastic bags. I don't think we see how often they blow out of the streets and out of the parking lots and end up straight in the ocean. And now every species of sea turtle, it's either threatened with extinction or it's on the species concerned list. So it's a pretty big deal. And I think especially a town that is completely surrounded by water, I think it's time to take some more responsibility.
As Southold is, yeah. Surrounded by the bay and the sound.
And inlets and creeks.
So that's how you're putting it, is that they should step up and take responsibility. By banning plastic bags?
Or? Yeah, I think a switch to, hopefully everyone will switch to reusables. They'll still offer paper bags, which aren't an enormous amount better. That I do believe they're better because they biodegrade faster. It's something that Southampton, or the village of Southampton, has done. I think it's just the way that a more modern society needs to shift towards.
I'm impressed by the way your website is organized. It's sort of, I imagine it's how you think of yourself or your activities. One is the film club, which you just talked about. Then you have a section on documentary style, and you say short and simple. Can you talk about what your documentary style is?
Yeah, I have two films on the documentary style. One is The Vanishing Species of on Eastern Long Island. So it documents five wildlife species that have become threatened or endangered on the East End, with interviews with local biologists. And so that one is basically five short, small case studies. And then the other one I filmed last winter, it's called Christmas Bird Count. And I follow Aaron Virgin and Steve Biasetti, and they count 70 bird species in a day. So the Christmas bird count, I think, is something that is becoming a more popular event. And I'm hoping this winter to incorporate students, local students, into starting bird counts, hopefully with Audubon.
How does that work? What do they do?
So it's usually two of the most experienced birders in that area will lead a team. So volunteers can come out and follow the birders, and then, but those head birders will always make sure that that's the right bird.
So they see a bird and then somebody logs it in some way?
Yeah, they log, so they keep track of every bird, if they can tell if it's male or female. And it's pretty amazing the migrations that we get out here in the fall and the winter. So I'm looking forward to it. I would like to do an educational bird count that might not go to the database, but it might be something that gets children excited about going out and birding year round.
So you're carrying on your grandfather's legacy, right? You're passing on to the next generation, those who are under your age, who are, you know, younger children. You're passing on the same thing, which is great.
Definitely.
So one of the short films I made about a month ago, I pulled over on the side of the road and I saw a little diamondback terrapin flipped upside down. So I flipped him back upside down and I followed his journey to the water. I think short videos are becoming very popular. It's really a style of film now. I think a lot of filmmakers are also interested in making very short films.
Go back to your website just for a minute. You've also got what you call words there, right? They're poetry, they're thoughts of yours. Are they sort of like almost blog-like? Can you talk about that?
I think when I travel, I think my thoughts are accelerated and I'm inspired to write. I try to keep a journal. That's something my grandfather instilled in me is, he gave me a journal and he said, let's start keeping a journal, Paul. And so I try to write every day.
What are your days like? I mean, you graduated college. When was it?
May 2011.
Okay, last year.
In order to fund my traveling and documenting, I make promotional videos. So right now I'm making promotional videos for Peconic Dunes Summer Camp. So this morning I was editing. So I spend a lot of time editing video, and it's also something that I can travel to an organization in another country and they'll provide food and housing in return for a promotional video. So it's something that funds my creativity, is promoting organizations that I feel really passionate about.
Paul Stoutenberg is talking about his life and work in filmmaking and environmental conservation on the North Fork and beyond. This is WPKN. You always have a camera with you. Do you want to talk about what kind of camera you use?
Yeah, I have a Sony NX5U. So a lot of people now are switching to DSLRs, but I find that the professional camcorders are better for on the fly kind of shoots, better for following biologists through the woods. And they also have audio, they have two XLR inputs, so really good for audio. So yeah, I always have my camera in my car or on my back if I'm going for a hike. Today I jumped out of my car, tried to get a red-tail hawk, but it went off probably trying to get a mouse or a vole.
So some of the work, obviously things, spontaneous things like that, are solo. I mean, you're on your own doing them. And yet the project you're planning in Ecuador is collaborative. You know, do you like doing both ways or?
That is what I've learned this year about filmmaking. And I've learned it from the kids, is that film is meant to be a collaborative process. And so from my experiences this summer with them, just seeing how it keeps the whole team inspired, I feel my passion could never die if I'm working with people that are as passionate as I am. So, I'm constantly impressed with the students. I don't even think of myself as at a higher level. I always can't believe what they can accomplish.
What impresses you in particular about them?
How fast they can jump on the internet and research and find out some amazing facts to add into a film, or their creative ideas for a different shot or an underwater shot of a crab. Often as a filmmaker, I can get very consumed by the process of production. And when something exciting happens in nature, I feel like I'm coming out of this dream and I'm awake, I'm alive, I'm in the moment. When I'm inside too much, I get a little anxious and stressed out from loads of work. And as soon as I step into a forest, that's all just gone. I feel 100% in the moment. All my senses are alert. The sound of birds just blurs out a lot of background noise in my head. And I think that actually my student, Alex, I think I'm similar to him in many ways. We both have a lot of energy. So we sit in front of a computer and we're like, all right, how are we going to edit this? But as soon as we get on the trail, it's like we know exactly what we're doing. We're going through the woods. We hear a bird. There's the bird. You're in the moment. And you're trying to capture that moment. You're trying to capture that brief existence of a bird. So I think being on the trails, being in the woods for me is what calms me down, what brings me into the moment.
Is it different if you're with Alex and if you're on your own? I mean, is it this, because I would imagine that it's so intense for you and so focused and so in the moment that it might be disturbing to have somebody else around, or is it not like that?
I think it's important to have both. I think that there's days that I need to go into nature by myself, and then there's times when I can't wait to go on a trail with someone and show them where I saw the great horned owl. And also, what keeps me as excited is seeing how excited Alex is to go try and find that great horned owl, or to try and get a better shot of that butterfly that just landed on the plant in front of us.
At this point, Alex has joined Paul and me to talk about how he experiences the trails and wildlife and what it's like to be working with Paul. Alex is a high-functioning, autistic 13-year-old student who lives in Kachog.
Well, I was born in 1998, I am 13 years old. I was born in Riverhead. What I like about nature videos is you get to walk and just to find a wildlife birds and see which one is more beautiful than the other birds. And filmmaking is my great thing to do.
Your great thing to do?
Yeah. Mm. Helping Norfolk would be the good thing for me.
Why?
because we get shots of animals and shots of things that people are doing wrong, and get shots of underwater wildlife animal and see where they live, how they live, and get a great shot of them.
So that what will people think when they see those great shots?
They would say, "Oh wow, that is so adorable. This movie is so adorable, and I love it."
What do you think? You think when people see these movies that they then change their what they do with animals or anything?
Well, some animals are endangered, and when they see the videos of what they need to do, they instead of saying, "Let's go beat an animal," they say, "Maybe we should just leave them alone and let their life keep on going."
What is your mood when you're out there? In the trails, in the woods, in the preserves.
Your heart beats naturally, and it's kind of great to experience wildlife filming.
Your heart beats naturally.
Yeah.
Can you say more about that?
When you go outside in the forest, you hear birds and seabirds, and it's just amazing for your eyes and your whole body to see.
Do you think you're going to be doing this a lot?
Not only bird videos, underwater videos, some videos about community helping or something.
Yeah. Have you done those already, or you will do?
I will do them next year and next summer. And me and Paul were planning that the whole group would join in.
Do you feel close to the birds? I mean, like, connected to them in some way, or?
I'm not actually connected. I just see them many times.
Is there something special about the wildlife or about the birds that you like?
They could be graceful.
Graceful?
Yeah.
Mm. Is this a place that you want to kind of protect for yourself and for your own growing up, you know, your own life?
Yeah.
Or just for other people?
Well, just for the animals and for the other people.
What would happen, do you think, if all the animals, you know, as you say, got hurt or got beaten up? What would life be like out here?
Life would be the end of the bird species. Some animals, sea animals, wildlife animals are endangered. And if the community, some high school students tried to tell them to stop, they just go to a place and tell the community to stop doing that and let the animals live and never die.
That's what you're doing?
Yes.
I think that's really important.
It's important for the birds of Norfolk, Long Island.
And therefore for the people of Long Island?
Yes.
Too? Why? Tell me what the connection is, because I think people don't always see that. They don't always see that if you protect the life of animals and bird wildlife, you're actually protecting your own life too. The end of the birds. What do you think the earth will be like if people don't protect? People like you, your generation.
It would just be a leaf falling from the tree and into a fiery lava. We may never have a better place and a better home.
This is maybe as good as it'll ever get, you mean? As good as it'll ever be?
Yeah.
That's a sobering thought, isn't
it? Yeah.
But this is as good as it gets if we don't kind of take care.
Yeah.
It can only get worse.
It can only get worse in the blink of an eye.
Yikes.
Yeah.
One of the questions I have, but I think you've answered it actually over and over, is, you know, why do you do this and what do you get out of it? One of your poems, I don't know if you consider them poems or your writing on your website, use the word adventure. Can you talk about is why you do this? Do you consider that you're seeking adventure?
I see the life of a conservationist as a vehicle for adventure. As an opportunity to see the world, to see inspiring stories of people that are battling for whether it's indigenous rights to homelands or protecting a species that's on the verge of extinction. I see conservation as an adventure 100%, and I can't wait to continue documenting it and documenting stories about people that are on the front lines.
Because in another, I think it's related to this, you've also written that, you know, it's not about, it's about creating yourself, not about finding yourself, which is a very interesting distinction, I think.
Yeah, I think it's something that I've been on the verge of at points in my life. I love to go with the flow. I love to be in the moment and just kind of enjoy the day. But I think it takes a lot of commitment and conviction to be the producer and director of your own life.
You know, a lot of people who live here or come here say what a special place it is. And, you know, there are artists who, you know, are inspired and ecstatic about the light, the North Fork light, and there are people who write about it, paint it, etc., photograph it. So a lot of people who've grown up here, they think it's a special place. Do you think it's a special place?
Yeah, I think there's so much history here. I think the way Long Island was formed, just the geology of Long Island, built by glaciers that pushed rocks into a mound, and then Indians lived here for how many hundreds of years, and being completely surrounded by water, I think it keeps the coasts kind of a more of a raw nature. The huge rocks on the sound are unbelievable. I think the farms are what keep it more of a rural area, and thank God for that. I hope that, and I believe that Southold understands how beautiful the natural spaces are, and I hope that through my lifetime I can help to keep Southold such a beautiful place and keep the pristine areas protected.
When you look at our planet as a whole, when you think about our planet, so are you pessimistic? Are you optimistic? How do you think of it?
I am optimistic. There's times that it's not easy to be. And I asked environmental filmmaker John Bauermaster, I said, how do you stay optimistic? And he said, take long walks. He said, it might sound silly, but take long walks. And at the end of every long walk I take, I know that there's more good in humans than bad. And I really feel that we are starting to become a more connected community. And because of the way we can communicate globally now, I feel that we can start to communicate ideas on how to make this world a more peaceful, harmonious place to live, and how to be more in a community with nature and not separate.
Well, that is optimistic. Rationally optimistic.
That was North Fork Works, where Paul Stoutenberg, environmental filmmaker, and Alex, a student, were talking about making nature films on the North Fork. Tom Damiani recorded the bird voices and other North Fork natural sounds. Thank you, Tom. They're wonderful. North Fork Works is heard at 7:30 p.m. on the first Wednesday of every month on WPKN 89.5 FM Bridgeport and available as podcasts on hazelkahn.com. North Fork Works is produced by Tony Ernst.